Hi, here is Overball, and you listen to Extra Features.
Welcome back to another episode of the Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode number 240. I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon, and I'm having a great week.
I'm Daniel. My week's okay.
I'm Doug, and it's a day. Whatever.
Yeah. It is what it is.
Come on, it's the day after Super Tuesday, Doug.
Yes, it's Bat Wednesday. I saw some Robert Pattinson Batman today.
Yeah, see, that's always a positive thing.
That sweet 70s Batmobile.
Oh, I love it. I love the Dodge Charger Batman.
Okay.
Batmobile.
Yeah.
I'm the guy that tried to avoid trailers and everything. Even I can't avoid this. It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's killing me.
Yeah, just pictures.
Killing me. Hello?
Yeah, what's killing you?
Trailers everywhere. They're killing me. I don't like it.
Okay.
Spoilers. Yucky.
Yeah, but this is to get the people excited about Robert Pattinson as Batman.
I'm excited. Make the movie. I'll watch it.
Yeah, but there are people who only know him from Twilight. And they haven't seen him in, like, The Lighthouse or Good Time or what was that, High Life. They don't know that he can be more than a sparkly vampire.
Well, then they're idiots.
Well, I think with releasing the Batsuit and releasing the Batmobile and the Batcycle, they're trying to say that this is a back-to-the-basics kind of approach to Batman. And I think it's to sort of calm some people down to think it might be Joel Schumacher bat-nipple territory.
Or sparkle Batsuit, maybe.
Silvery glitter.
Yes.
The Mr. Freeze costume. I saw
a great tweet that was, it was like Bane, and it was like the producers to Matt Reeves, like, oh, Gotham is yours. Do with it what you please. Like the clip from Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Nice. So do you want to do any news or first? Or?
Yeah, I think we have to discuss the James Bond news. Pisses me off.
And that's that they've delayed it.
To November.
Yeah.
That's not okay with me. I was going for my birthday. I was going to see Bond in theaters. Because that's one of the few things that gets me out of my house are James Bond films.
Yeah, I think it was, April 10th or something?
Yeah,
like
five days before my birthday, I was going to go with my wife. We're going to have dinner and then go see a movie. And that's what I wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
Now I just get dinner. I'm not excited anymore.
Well, you understand why they did it, though.
I did, because I can't open in China.
They did. Well, the problem is that Bond is a big international property.
I know.
And they need those box office dollars. And if half the world is closed because of coronavirus, they're not going to make it.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I understand why they did it. It can't be an unhappy.
Yeah, I'm just sorry. I mean, here we are a month away, and it's now another 6 months away, 7 months.
Yeah, I mean, is that how long they think coronavirus is going to last?
Well, I think they actually read the room wrong. Everything I hear is that the coronavirus will die down a bit over the summer, over the hot months, and then come back a lot worse next flu season.
Really?
November will be right in the middle of that. I think they kind of read the room wrong on this.
So they should have just changed it to the summer then.
Now, one theory that's out there is that the villain in the piece has a plan. And no one quite, I mean, the Rami Malek character has some kind of master plan that's going to devastate the human race. And you know, his crew of survivors will survive somehow. So it may be a biological weapon. So maybe they felt that it was totally wrong to release that while everyone's going through the throes of a pandemic.
So his weapon is the coronavirus. Okay.
Maybe. Or like a virus of some kind.
Okay. I get it. Huh.
But I'm not 100%. Like, if I mean, the ongoing theory is that it's Dr. No, reimagined for now. And so Dr. No's villain plot was that he was going to destroy the U.S. space program. But that doesn't really work because we don't really have a space program anymore. I mean, there's Space Force. I mean, I think that would be kind of funny if someone wanted to take out Trump's Space Force. But, like, right now there's no real comparable thing. So if you wanted to devastate part of the population for whatever reason, viruses are the way to do it. So that's just a theory, though. I mean, we won't know until we see the movie in November now. So.
Yeah, that's true. It's like it's a month away, and now it's now end of the year.
What was funny was I suggested to a couple of friends of mine, I said, hey, do you guys want to see Bond next month? And their response was, I don't want to sit in a theater and catch the coronavirus. And so I was able to write back to them today and say, hey, guys, can you go see it with me in November? Because the movie's been delayed. And they're like, oh, yeah, okay, sure, why not? So.
Wow. I would have seen it with you in April, Kevin.
Yeah, I was thinking I'd just get a VIP ticket or something and go by myself.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like I said, I presume my wife will probably go with me, so hopefully she does. If not, I'm going myself.
Right.
And I don't really care.
Yeah, as long as they don't postpone New Mutants.
Oh, again? Like, who cares?
Yeah, I guarantee they're not going to postpone New Mutants, I tell you that.
Like we're a month away. Please just let us have it already.
Black Widow, I'd be concerned about.
Yeah, I'm concerned about Mulan. I think they had their opening in China, and it didn't do so well.
Oh, yeah.
Like 20 million? Yeah.
Oh, because people aren't going out. I mean, it's just the nature of it. I mean, it's not so bad here. I mean, there are very few cases in North America generally. So, but people are worried.
Oh. I heard about a couple of cases in Canada around Vaughan, Ontario.
Yeah, but there are people that were on a flight back from Iran, and they were identified right away.
Okay.
And so they're in quarantine. And the thing is, it's like a flu. If you have it and you go into quarantine and you ride it out, eventually you're okay. And you're no longer contagious.
Yeah, like I have a fever right now, and I'm always joking like, ah, coronavirus. I don't want to die. But
right.
Yeah.
But think of it as a virulent flu. I mean, here we are giving healthcare advice to everybody, but it's like a more virulent version of the flu. So the risk of death is higher than with the flu, but there is a risk with the flu as well. So it's like 2% versus 0.1%.
Okay.
The number of people that pass away, but it affects for the most part people who have compromised immune systems and people who are elderly.
Okay.
People in their 70s and 80s have more at risk. So basically all of the presidential candidates have to worry. Right? They should all go into isolation because they're all 70-year-olds.
So. Oh, so Super Flu Tuesday.
Yes. Yeah, Super Virus Tuesday.
Oh, no.
Cool. Sorry. Anything else you guys want to discuss news-wise?
Yeah, no, that was it for me.
Yeah. All right.
Want to get into the Birds of Prey?
Yes, of course.
Sure. Tell us about the Birds of Prey.
I'm not going to say the whole title, but it's because it's long. But directed by Kathy Yan. Yan.
Yeah.
Starring Marco Robbie. Shit. Starring Margot Robbie, Rosie Perez, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Journey Smollett Bell, Ewan McGregor, and Ella J. Basco.
So who's starting?
You are.
I'm starting. Well, Harley Quinn, or the Emancipation of the Fantabulous Harley Quinn, is a Harley Quinn movie. It's not the Birds of Prey movie. It's a Harley Quinn movie. And I think they made a mistake in advertising it as a Birds of Prey movie. It's like the origin of the Birds of Prey in the Harley Quinn movie. And it sort of picks up after she's broken up from the Joker. She's pretending to still go out with him because being the Joker's girlfriend gives her a certain amount of freedom in Gotham City. People don't want to mess with her. So, anyway, she's drinking and making a fool of herself. And then she decides to make a big public statement and publicly break up with him and destroy Ace Chemicals, where she was born and where he was born, essentially as a reborn, as supervillains. Margot Robbie, you know, if you're familiar with her from Suicide Squad, it's just more. Like, a lot more. And she's great. She does a perfect Harley Quinn. She's funny. I just found the whole movie actually quite enjoyable. I liked Black Mask. I liked Ewan McGregor. He plays a bit of a vain supervillain. And I don't know. I liked the overall. I thought the Birds of Prey themselves were kind of lame. Black Canary was okay. The Huntress didn't really have much going on. She was just sort of in the background. Renee Montoya is okay. I feel like Rosie Perez, she's a little bit older than she would be in the comics or the cartoon. One complaint was the Cassandra Cain character is like a silent kick-ass ninja in the comics, and here she's like a kind of a dopey kid that swears a lot, gets into trouble, pickpockets. But I don't know, overall I thought the action pieces were great. I thought Harley Quinn was fantastic and very an engaging character. And it's much better than Suicide Squad was. And I could see them doing more with this. But nobody went to see it.
Well, let's start there. You say nobody went to see it. Well, did you see this film?
I saw it, yeah.
It's a little convoluted at times. It's a little hard to follow.
It's like Harley Quinn. She's a convoluted, complicated individual with different concepts of time and narrative.
Yeah.
And so she's constantly, like a cartoon character, she'll stop and rewind and replay stuff that she thinks is important to you.
There's my first problem. I'm in the middle of an action scene, or I'm in the middle of this. Oh, hold on. I got to back up. Mike, why are we backing up?
Because she feels there's something you need to know.
There was nothing I ever needed to know.
Okay.
I really felt that was the biggest problem with the film for me. I enjoyed the film. I thought Margot Robbie was fine. I do agree with you. Winstead had nothing to do.
No.
I'm like, why are you even in this film?
Because they decided they needed a Huntress, I guess.
I guess so. And I just found it very hard to go forward and backwards and forward and backwards. And I can see why people didn't enjoy it.
Most people I know who saw it enjoyed it.
Okay.
The reviews were very positive from what I saw.
I didn't hate it. I gave it a positive review. We'll start there. Now, I guess my question is, it means people didn't go, is Margot Robbie an A-list actress? Maybe that's the issue. She doesn't bring anybody in.
I think the issue was that it was R-rated.
Okay, you know, there we go.
I think that Suicide Squad, where Harley Quinn was introduced, was a PG-13 movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think this should have been PG-13.
A lot of people wanted to bring their kids to this and were disappointed with the R-rating.
I really don't think it needed to be R-rated. Aside from a few fucks, the violence and everything, there wasn't anything so extreme violence-wise that I thought it rated an R rating.
There was a lot of bone-crunching violence, but it was cartoony.
Yeah.
Most of Black Mask's violence.
I think it suffered, too, from the, I don't know if you guys are watching Star Trek Picard, but the need to throw in a few fucks from time to time. I mean, like, it's not necessary. You don't need to do that. To show you're edgy.
True.
This movie decided to throw that in a lot.
Well, I think that Warner saw how well Joker did with an R rating earning over $1 billion that they just decided, oh, Birds of Prey is now going to be R rated. And I've heard that James Gunn's Suicide Squad is also going to be R rated. And I think that might be the wrong way to go if they want to court as big an audience as possible.
Well, like we've talked about DC movies in the past on the show, but I think this is an ongoing problem with DC in general, is that they have no concept of what they have, and that they desperately want is to sell adult movies. And they have kids' properties, or universal appeal properties. So you don't necessarily need to make it R-rated to make it entertaining and get the box office. And in fact, it would be more beneficial to them to not do this R-rated approach. You know, when you've got characters that children want to see in action, why would you create an R-rated movie just because you can? Doesn't mean you should.
Absolutely.
And go ahead, Sam.
No, I have to agree with everything you guys are saying. I want to say, my daughter loved Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
She never once said she wanted to see this. She must have known it was out. Never said a word to me. She kind of said, I'll watch it one day.
Again, I don't think they promoted it as a Harley Quinn movie, even though she's featured in everything. Calling it Birds of Prey confused people.
Well, it confused me.
Did they even promote it? Because the only thing I ever saw about this was the, like, a little teaser with, like, the balloons from It, and she's like, oh, I'm so fucking sick of clowns. It's like, that was the only TV, like, only trailer I saw for this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't, maybe it didn't do well at the box office because there's a Harley Quinn show that's kind of, I mean, I like the movie, but I think the show does it better.
A show's a totally different character to me.
Yeah, fair, but it's both Harley Quinn, right?
Yeah, but the show's only on the DC subscription service. If you don't have that, you don't get to see it.
Right.
And it's not available in Canada.
Yeah. One of my theories was not just that it was R-rated, but they released it on Oscar weekend. Which I think is a problem. If you're a movie lover, you're gearing up for the Oscars. You're going to see the Oscar movies before the Oscar program. So to release it on Friday, so you're not home, you're not going to the movies on Sunday. So that's a day lost. Unless you go in the afternoon. I mean, comic book fans are interested in the Oscars, I think. I think a lot of them do watch the awards. I think that was a lost, like a bad mistake. I think, again, people were rushing out to see Parasite and other things which were up for awards and getting a lot of buzz. I mean, if I were given a choice of going to see a movie that might win Best Picture or Harley Quinn, I would probably choose Harley Quinn because I'm a comic guy, but like other people would probably just say, well, I'm going to see Parasite. I got to see this movie first. I can go see Harley Quinn later. I'll watch it at home. And like so a lot of people I know said, I'll wait and I'll see it on home video. This isn't a put on pants and leave the house kind of movie.
I have to agree.
But, you know, a few of us, like, I was on Facebook saying, go and see this movie. I enjoyed the hell out of this movie. I thought there was a lot to it.
Yeah, I think, for me, the best part is when they're actually all together and actually start to kick ass together, you know? The ending here, like, the third act is really fun. The action is really good. And there's some good, like, fight choreography and action throughout, but I thought it was best at the end.
Speaking of fight choreography, I got to give a shout-out to John Wick's Chad Stahelski. He was second unit director on this film, and especially in the police station scene.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He had his fingerprints all over that scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I enjoyed that. I loved the police scene. I think that's probably my favorite scene in the film.
Is that why you were kind of like, oh, why do we need more to tell her why she's at the police station? Because that's one of the points where she has to go back into the story of like, oh, this is how I got here.
Well, that was okay. Let's get into this. I did not like Cassandra Cain at all. I thought that was a just dumb character. Yeah, why is she named after Batwoman?
I mean, she's basically like the equivalent of the kid in Hunt for the Wilder People, right?
Exactly.
Well, in the comics, that character, Cassandra Cain, is Batgirl.
So is that Batgirl in this movie?
No. Essentially, that character is mute. She's like the daughter of Lady Shiva, who's like a martial arts expert.
Oh.
Okay.
And Batman kind of adopts her as Batgirl. Although she's not quite part of the Batman family, she kind of just takes on the costume and becomes part of the Bat family by osmosis.
Okay, and Rosie Perez, really? Not really a good choice.
I thought she was okay. Eh. The stupid t-shirt was a bit much. But
yeah, that was a little much.
I like Rosie Perez. I like that she's getting a role again that she could really sink her teeth into and do stuff with. It's been a while since I've seen her be in anything this much, probably since, like, White Men Can't Jump, and that was a long time ago. I enjoyed seeing her get to play a nice character again.
I've only seen her in Pineapple Express, I think.
Do the Right Thing, Daniel?
Oh, okay, yeah. I've seen that, yeah.
Thought you might.
Well, I didn't recognize her from it then.
Well, that's her first movie ever.
Oh, okay. So I like Mary Elizabeth Winstead in this. I'm a fan of her. She didn't have a lot to do, but the shot when she's going down the slide and she's stabbing the henchman, that was pretty good. I like that.
What is the love that people have for Mary Elizabeth Winstead? She's never done anything for me.
Ramona from Scott Pilgrim, I thought she was really good as that character.
Okay, you're right. I'll give her that.
I like Final Destination 3.
She's in Final Destination 3?
Yeah, she's the main one. The roller coaster one? Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it. I can't remember how long ago.
It came out in 03, so 17 years ago.
Yeah, I saw the film. Yes. Okay.
I don't remember any Final Destination. The first one had Devin. Was it Devin Sawa?
Devin Sawa.
Yeah, he was in it.
And now he's doing The Fanatic with John Travolta.
Now he's doing Fan Expo shows this year.
I was supposed to say that. He signed on for his Fan Expo shows.
Yeah, he's announced for Dallas and possibly other shows.
There you go. Are we moving along now to another adaptation of a comic?
What's that one?
But this one's a video game, right?
This one's more of a video game, but it is a comic. Yeah. It does have a comic.
Sonic has comics? Okay.
Sonic has comics.
From Archie.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right, Sonic the Hedgehog, starring Ben Schwartz as Sonic, James Marsden, Jim Carrey, and Tika Sumpter. Just you and me, Simon?
I think so. I can start if you want. I was quite shocked how much I enjoyed this film. Absolutely quite shocked. I thought it was going to be a big flaming piece of junk. I loved it. I had so much fun in this. My only issue is it's a little kiddish, but what can I expect from a movie called Sonic? And Jim Carrey should have been more over the top as Jim Carrey.
Really? Mr. Robotic. I was worried about that.
I wanted him to – they rein him in a lot. He works so well as Mr. Robotic. It's shocking. And I like how they had a nice origin story, explained to me how the rings work, explained to me where Sonic came from, and he runs fast. What else do I need to know? Works for me.
Fast.
The only character who's kind of useless is James Marsden's wife's sister, who doesn't do anything. Other than saying, you gotta divorce that guy. I don't know why yet. Maybe she'll tell me next film.
I feel like she had more to do than Tika Sumpter, like the actual wife. To be honest.
Tika Sumpter did nothing. I felt bad for her. She had zero to do, too, other than run away.
Yeah. I mean, at least the sister got tied up at one point.
I guess so. Now, I have a question. When you invite somebody into your home and you say, no, you can't come in, and then all their robots come to your house, shouldn't you have an issue at that point?
I mean, I feel like Jim Carrey just busted in his way into the house.
Well, I do feel that way. I feel like this guy's got no boundaries. I love the way he treats his assistant. I thought those were funny.
No, yeah, I mean, he just cares about technology. Like, what are humans, right?
Yeah, I like the car chase scene. I thought it was excellent.
Yeah, and I think the point where Jim Carrey's able to be the most Jim Carrey is when he's doing that dance bit in his – when he's working and he's doing the dance thing in his trailer.
I like the end of the film, too. I thought it kind of worked well.
Yeah, I like the setup for the next one. Yeah, I think Jim – it's refreshing seeing Jim Carrey be Jim Carrey again. It's not like – like you said, it's not like Ace Ventura Jim Carrey, but it's the most he's been Jim Carrey since a while. Like, Yes Man. I mean, you could count Dumb and Dumber too, but I don't really.
No, it's a terrible film.
Yeah. But no, it's like, if you like, you know, it's like kind of like Liar Liar Jim Carrey, like that level.
Okay, I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's a great one.
Okay.
Maybe
we should ask.
Wait, you haven't seen Liar Liar?
No, I've never seen Liar Liar.
He hasn't seen.
Man, that's better added to the list.
Oh, he hasn't seen Me, Myself, and Irene yet either.
No, I haven't.
Oh, God.
You guys do this list. I do not program anymore. So, Doug, how come you didn't see Sonic? Okay, Doug's gone.
No, sorry. My kids just didn't want to see it. And I would have felt creepy going to see it by myself as a 40-year-old man.
Well, I do know a 58-year-old man who probably went to see it, so you could have joined him.
I saw it on a Sunday morning as a 25-year-old. I didn't really feel creepy, but there was a little kid that sat next to me, and he was really annoying.
Was he as annoying as that guy that was watching his phone for 20 minutes during The Invisible Man?
No, during Call of the Wild, but no. No, it wasn't. I hate people, man. But no, it's a good movie. It's fun. I like the humor. I like Sonic, and it's nice that they made him look not creepy like he originally was in those trailers.
I never saw them, so I have no idea what he looked like.
You should try to see the difference.
Okay. That might be something you can
do later. Okay.
Oh, Dan, do you want to take a trip? Well, how about a vacation?
To Fantasy Island?
Let's go.
Okay, with Maggie Q, Michael Pena, Lucy Hale, Portia Doubleday, Jimmy O. Yang, Austin Stowell, Ryan Hansen, and Michael Rooker.
Can I start for a bit?
Yeah, you go ahead with this one.
I felt this came off like a bad TV show pilot.
Yeah.
Like, I used to watch Fantasy Island as a kid. I'm like, okay, I'll give this a shot. I really hate Lucy Hale, but okay. I always thought everybody's, like maybe Kevin remembers Fantasy Island better than I do, that when you have a fantasy, it's your fantasy.
The plane.
You don't really mix
the plane.
Up the fantasy. So one person has their direction. It's kind of like the Love Boat. One person has theirs, one person does that, and they kind of meet up at the end.
Yes. Well, exactly like the Love Boat. Love Boat was basically everybody boards, and then you slow motion, and the captain says, here is so-and-so, and their thing on the boat is they want to meet a husband.
Right.
And Fantasy Island, Tattoo and Mr. Rourke would talk as if they'd watch them leave, and they go, ah, there's Miss Jones. Miss Jones, her mother died recently, and now she's decided to cut loose and be a big party person. And hopes to get laid on the island. And that's basically it. That was how each episode began.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So it's the same show.
And Tattoo would crack a joke. He would say, hey, maybe she'll come to my pad. You know, I'd fly her with champagne and make her drunk.
Well, Kevin, you know? I'm sure you didn't see this film, because that's what Lucy Hale says right at the beginning of the film.
I didn't see the film.
You did see it?
No, I did not.
Okay, she tries to hit on some guy. So,
okay.
I have an issue. Okay, the island is run by Mr. Rourke, right?
Michael Pena.
Yeah. Who has to stay on the island because he wants to keep living with his wife who's died.
Okay.
Okay, so she does exist, but she doesn't know she's dying. She dies and comes back 24/7. Got that.
Okay.
But Lucy Hale starts her fantasy. She goes first. And so things are created for her, right? Like, everything's supposed to be fake. It's the way I took it. Do you know what I mean? Like, the water they use molds everything. But they have a real person? They had to go kidnap somebody. Which I could not figure out. I'm like, she nods her. And they kidnap this person. And she comes into Lucy Hale's fantasy. I'm like, okay, now I'm really confused. And then they have the mom, the male character, who has his fantasy. And he wants to be an army guy and hang out and live with his dad, be like his dad. Well, at one point, his fantasy and the computer guys that were on the boat, fantasy run together. And then it all runs into Lucy Hale's fantasy. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm getting so confused. And then at the end, we're right near the end. I'm like, who's supposed to be the villain here? The island? Mr. Rourke? No. Lucy Hale goes nuts.
By the way, we spoil shit.
And tries to kill everybody. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so confused. And here's the thing. Portia Doubleday's character, who is real, has a double on the island now. So I'm kind of
Portia Doubleday.
Why do we need to kidnap Portia Doubleday if we're going to introduce Portia Doubleday's double later on? Does this make any sense to anybody?
Not the way you're explaining it, but
am I wrong the way I'm explaining it?
No. I mean, there's individual fantasies, and then, yeah, at the end it merges into one thing where the overarching fantasy is the fact that Lucy... So we're going to spoil everything. It's a stupid fucking twist.
And we haven't even discussed Maggie Q yet, because I'm going to go to Maggie Q next.
No. So basically, Lucy Hale wants revenge on all of these people, because she was teased when she was a kid, and that teased by... teased by Portia Doubleday's character, who she wants revenge on. But she also wants revenge on all of these characters because this guy that she was went on a date with, they all let him die in a fire, basically. And she only went on one date with him, and she's convinced that he was the love of her life, and she wants revenge on them all.
What a joke, because the one guy is a police officer that couldn't go into the burning fire.
Maybe the one
that started the fire.
On an accident, yeah.
And I can't remember how the computer guys work into it.
They were his next-door neighbor, and they wanted to check on him, but they thought they thought he wasn't in the apartment.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean, Kevin, this film makes no sense.
And Portia Doubleday doesn't figure into it other than they kidnap her, because, hey... Maybe we'll just get another body here. Well, when they could have definitely done a hologram.
Well, that's why I'm getting confused, because they did it for Maggie Q. They gave her a fantasy with fake characters. Her fake daughter she didn't have, and her old husband she said no to. I mean, her fiance turned her down. I mean, that's all here.
Yeah, that's where it got confusing to me, because it's like, okay, if she leaves the island... She's still not with this fiance. She doesn't have a daughter. That's not a fantasy. That is torture for the rest of her life.
Right, but she wanted to try it out. That was her goal. This is what would happen if she said yes.
Yeah, because her fantasy was rectifying her biggest regret. Then she changed it to, oh, no, I wanted to save this guy in the fire.
Yeah, randomly changes her fantasy. And Rourke even tells her, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And then she gets all pissy. And then so he goes, okay, we can do that. I'm like, isn't that violating the rules? Didn't you spend weeks setting up these fantasies? Isn't that what you told us?
Yeah, and the maid person who's really Rourke's wife tells her, like, oh, no, you can kind of change your fantasy as long as it's the same sentiment. So as long as it's still your biggest regret, but you can kind of change it. And... You know, the whole movie doesn't make sense. It's a mess, but it's kind of fascinating to watch, but it's also boring.
Hang on. You can't forget Michael Rooker, Kevin. This is going to be you in the movie. Michael Rooker's come to the island to investigate.
Yeah, he's it's like he's in the most dangerous game hunting people, but he came 2 weeks ago to investigate what's going on this island, and now he's just like a caveman.
He's chasing, so he goes to save people. So he goes to save Lucy Hale and Portia Doubleday. And then the serial guy that was going to kill Portia Doubleday starts chasing them. I'm like, what? I don't understand this. It just makes no sense.
And meanwhile, there's these two party guys who have a house, and then eventually these military types
kidnap them. Do they think they're somebody else?
Yeah, Kim Coates, he's in it. He storms the house.
But then
the army subplot, they get onto that into the mansion, because apparently now it's Venezuela when the dad died. So there's a bunch of time warp shit that doesn't make any fucking sense going on too. And but the biggest twist of all, the biggest thing that pissed me off is that, okay, so Jimmy O Yang, he was in Patriot's Day, and he ends up being Tattoo at the end because he has a tattoo that says Tattoo, and he stays on the island forever because his stepbrother dies and he switches places with them, and then Michael Penn is like, oh, this is Welcome to Fast Fantasy Island Tattoo. And I almost shot myself.
He has to stay there so his brother can live. Now, why can't Rourke's wife leave then?
Because he wants her there. But then he releases her. And it was a bad movie. But like when the military types started oozing like black from their eyes and became kind of like zombies, that was when it's almost so bad it's good, but a lot of it is just purely bad.
It makes no sense.
But I kind of want to watch it again. I'm going to be honest with you.
Of course you do. I want Kevin to watch it and explain to me what I missed.
No, you didn't miss anything. It's just a bad movie.
Okay. We should move along. Okay. Which one are we doing next?
Netflix one?
Sure.
To All the Boys, P.S. I Still Love You. The sequel to All the Boys I've Loved Before, starring Lana Condor, Noah Centineo, Jordan Fisher, Bedline Arthur, Holland Taylor, and John Corbett. You want to kick this one off again, or you want me to?
Did nobody else watch this? Just me and you?
Yep, I think so.
Wow, guys.
Yeah.
Come on, Doug, that's not like you. Okay, I'll start. I still have a problem with this couple. I don't believe they're going out ever. Lana Condor, does she know emotion?
What is emotion?
Like, she's just so stiff at times. So is Peter. He's stiff, too. It's cute. It's just one of these cute, cuddly movies. It really doesn't have much going for it. It's watchable. I mean, it continues the story for number one. And introduce the one guy that didn't answer her letter.
And Jordan Fisher in the picture. Sorry?
I just don't believe all the guys are in love with her. I have such an issue with that basic concept. It's just like, she's not that interesting as a person. Like, she makes cool peanut butter cupcakes or something.
She writes great love letters.
Yeah, and likes pizza. I got it.
Did she even like pizza? Maybe.
They eat it at the treehouse.
Oh, okay.
But again, I just felt this film is geared too much for that teen angst crowd that I'm not. Like, 13 to 15-year-old girls. But I did put it to a 13-year-old, 12-year-old girl and ask her what she thought. She goes, it was okay.
One of your daughter's friends?
I asked my daughter to watch it.
Oh, okay.
Without even asking her. She goes, I watched it on the weekends. No, you watched it before? She goes, it was okay.
Did she see the first one?
She did.
Okay. What did she think of the first one?
She liked it better. No, there's my argument. Yeah. So if I'm going in going, meh, and they're targeting audiences at that, and they're going, meh, I think I'm okay with this.
Hey, honestly, I love the first one. I think the first one is
cute. I like the first one.
I believe it in the... I believe that they get together in the first one, but this one doesn't really know what to do.
No.
And it's not as funny. I mean, yeah, it's watchable, but it's much more watchable than most of the teen romance stuff that they come out, Netflix comes out with, like Tall Girl or The Kissing Booth, or even The Perfect Date with Noah Centineo. Like, Noah Centineo isn't that good here. I like Laura Condor. I know she doesn't emote that well, but I think she's kind of charming. I like the, honestly, Adventures of Babysitting. That opening is one of my favorites, and they do it okay here. Though I think it's not that funny. I think the only parts that I really liked were Laura Condor and Holland Taylor. Like, I think she was the only thing that made me laugh here.
I don't think her friends have any depth in this one. You know, even the friends when they go to the treehouse. None of those characters we know anything about.
No, I mean, they just expect us to remember everything about them from the first film.
I don't.
And they do they have to do a recap, but you still forget everything about them.
Because you're wishy-washy.
And they don't even mention the neighbor. That was such a big part of the first film. They don't even mention him in this one.
Do not
and it's only... It's only like 2 weeks late. It's only picks up 2 weeks later or a month later in the story, and they don't even mention him at all. I mean, you're not really going to go to college in February, are you?
So, Doug.
Yes, sir.
If you come home on a Saturday night and your kids are having a sleepover and they're watching To All the Boys, P.S. I Love You, what do you say?
I say, I hope you enjoy it, but I have plenty of other movies that you can choose from.
That's true.
I think the last time my son had a sleepover, they ended up watching Guardians of the Galaxy. So, I approved of that.
Well, I hope so. Did you have Guardians of the Galaxy 2 for right afterwards?
I did, but they only watched one.
Oh, okay.
Because I think then they went on to play Star Wars Battlefields.
Nice. Good choice. Okay.
Though it's weird seeing Jordan Fisher act, because I watched some of his streams on Twitch. He does like video games, so it's kind of weird seeing him act here. But it's a 5 out of 10 for me.
I think that's 4.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. Something that's good, like, you know, like good for the target audience to watch on a Friday night and then forget when they get up on Saturday morning.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Moving along to a film Doug has actually seen.
Yes.
The one I picked for you guys to watch for my Oscar victory lap. It's called Bodied, directed by Joseph Kahn. Starring Caleb Worthy of Austin and Ally fame,
yes.
Jackie Long, Rory Uphold, Jonathan Park, Walter Perez, Anthony Michael Hall, and Simon Rex.
So go ahead, Doug.
Well, it's a movie about rap battles, and I was so ready to be mad at Daniel for picking this movie. But I'm going to be honest, I really liked it. I had a fun time with it. Granted, the main character, Adam, he was a bit of an asshole.
Yes.
But the supporting characters I enjoyed. I thought it was actually much better than I thought it was going to be going into it. So I salute you, Daniel.
You just thought I was going to pick a bad movie?
I was only going based on the Book of Henry suggestion from last time.
Okay, that was on purpose to torture Simon. I have good taste, but that was my bad movie choice. This is my good movie choice.
Okay. Well, I agree. I did like this movie. I had a lot more fun with it than I was expecting to.
Okay, good. Good. I like it.
I friggin' love this movie. Absolutely love it. I love the rap battles. Probably because I harass people as much as this guy does.
Oh, Jesus, yes.
And I think he's hysterical. I think the writing is really good on the rap battles. I do have a couple minor issues with the film, but I mean, the I find Anthony Michael Hall is just sort of there. You know, he goes to school, his dad's Anthony Michael Hall, he's a this and that, and they kick him out of school, and I kind of got annoyed about that. You know, I kind of didn't feel they should have gone there with the film, but they wanted to, that's fine. But in Maya, I really wanted to spend more time with her. But they kind of just get rid of her. Do you know what I mean?
The girlfriend?
Yeah, they kind of just get rid of her.
Oh, I don't like the girlfriend.
You know,
but that's the point.
Why don't you like her? Oh, she's supposed to be annoying. But my argument is I didn't like the rules that they agreed he wasn't going to rap out. My argument with her is, why not? You know?
She thinks it's an appropriation of black culture?
But it's not. It really isn't. I mean, I didn't get it was a black culture thing. Obviously, the guy's wife goes on about it all the time. It's hysterical. The computer guy, Grimm.
Yeah, Ben Grimm.
But Grimm's wife goes on. It's funny, but I don't think it's appropriation of black culture in any way. He's a white guy and he's good at it. Is Eminem stealing rap? No, he's good at it, so he does it. I have no issues with that.
Well, Eminem was a producer on this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. I can see why. Maybe he wrote some of it. I don't know. But I think she was perfect. I think everybody's cast perfectly. But, I mean, she gets mad at him for something she told him to do.
I think in the writing we're supposed to hate her. So that's when she's like, she gives her thesis thing about like, oh, no, you're actually the asshole. We're like, oh, yeah, he's an asshole, and like your words have consequences, so that's why he gets kicked out of school. Because I mean, you can be racist in a battle rap setting and say, oh, I'm not racist, but I'm gonna attack you for being Asian. But yeah, no, you're still a racist asshole.
Well, that's the thing. When Maya puts that up, I'm like, he gets victimized. I'm like, no, he's a victim now. You know what I mean? You're saying all the Asians. I think it's battle rap. Come on, people.
Yeah,
how many songs and shows do you listen to that people don't mean it? He's doing a job. He's getting paid to roast people.
Yeah, but didn't he then use the personal life of that guy's daughter in a
rap?
Was an asshole.
But he said it was okay. Grimm says that's fine because we're battle rapping. Because Grimm does the same thing to him.
I think that's where... Like, I love the movie, but I think that's where, like, one part where it doesn't just, it's, battle rap is still sick, but it's not enjoyable because Grimm has a code of not getting into personals, and the way he's attacking him, he's just attacking him for being a white guy who wants to be black. But the way that Adam, like, you see him with the visuals, he breaks into the very personal shit where... He crosses the line. He brings his real life of him being a video game designer. And, like, when he brings out the line of, like, the, oh, you wish your child could breathe because she has cystic fibrosis, that was like, oh, man.
But the line was good. It made sense.
It was.
It worked, and Grimm comes back at him, and Grimm and him are good. It's the double rap battle is when the Grimm gets mad at them because they start dishing his daughter. He's like, hey, that's nothing to do with you. You're not in this battle.
No, he was mad at him.
Adam shouldn't have brought it up. Then everybody knows now. That's why I think Adam was an asshole.
But it's rap battling. Is there lines in rap battling? No.
Yeah, that was the line. When you're friends and you go into the... When you bring his personal life that he allowed Adam to see, that he hasn't allowed anyone else to see, I think that's when he crosses
Grimm
the line.
Grimm says they're not friends. He says that clearly a couple times. They're not friends.
Well, I think they were friends for a bit, but he says it at the end because he's a bigoted asshole at the end.
Yeah,
because
that's the way I saw it.
Yeah, so like I think from my point of view, when he gets kicked out of school, I'm like, oh, no, he is just doing this for the battle rap. But then when he goes to the personals and he just does it for the clout of it, that's when it's like, oh, no, he's an actually asshole and he kind of deserves
this. But he's getting paid.
$5,000, but he could have still done sick rhymes without assault, without bringing that into it.
I don't think Adam knows those barriers. I don't think he's ever presented that barriers because I think they set that in place with Maya. When he, his girlfriend tells him to roast him, he goes full honor. So he doesn't know personal boundaries.
Yeah, I think that's because he's not a good person, but Graham fundamentally is a good person because he's doing this for his family, not because he wants to be a great battle rapper.
Correct. But again, Adam's sleeping on a bench outside. He knows no boundaries, nor does he care.
No, but not, yeah, that's what makes him an asshole, right?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he knows he's an asshole, though.
By the end, he's made aware of it. But he doesn't care that he's an asshole because they're accolading him at the end. Like, oh, you're the greatest. That was legendary. You're the greatest white rapper ever. Right?
Dog, what do you feel?
I'm in the asshole part. I think that he might not think he's an asshole, but I think he is. I mean, bringing up Grimm's daughter, that was the line for me. That, yeah, he's an asshole. He could be an incredibly talented asshole.
Yeah.
But he's still an asshole.
Yeah, because Grimm says he respects him as an artist, but no, you're not my friend.
Okay, I'm going to throw this out there, because I think Maya's an asshole, too.
Who?
Maya, his ex-girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, I didn't like her at all.
Because the way she goes to that vegan restaurant and changes everything... After she says 30 seconds earlier, I love it here, and then changes her whole order? Like, come on. And she puts him out of the stuff. She makes him go viral and get kicked out of the thing. That's not very nice.
Yeah, everyone's an asshole here. I mean, in his friend group, they're all elitist pricks.
Well, yeah. I mean, movies can have more than one asshole.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I do think this movie is fantastic. So I guess the one question I want to ask, what happens to Adam next?
He's Slim Shady. No, I don't know. that was one thing I got. This is the second time I watched this, and I was like, I forgot that it ends with him going, like, my name is, and then he goes into Slim Shady.
Yeah, he plays on the thing. I mean, does he go back to university? I'd say yes, he does go back at some point.
Maybe when he's not hated, but I think he goes deeper into the battle rap grounds.
Yeah, that's what I was. I think he goes all in until he's all out, and then he's back at university.
Well, I think he becomes a YouTube star. I also think there's that possibility.
Oh, he's starting. No, he goes on the Star on Austin and Alley.
Yeah, he does. He goes and bring him back from Austin Alley. I don't know. I think Kevin would have loved this film if he watched it.
Yeah, but he just. Yeah, and I thought the bits about the N-word pass were really funny, too. And how that.
Oh my god, in the library? And he's talking to the guy, and I was dying. I'm like, so funny.
And that Daniel Negreanu cameo, it was really random, but I enjoyed it.
Where's the Daniel Negreanu cameo? I know he looks
and
like
the, in the library when they say, oh, you mind? We're studying over
that's
here.
That's Daniel Negreanu. I'm totally messed up.
Yeah, that's the poker star, yeah.
I know who he is.
Yeah, I know you would.
Oh, my God, I totally missed that. No, when he's talking, he's dropping the N-bomb and looking at the black guy looks, I couldn't stop laughing. I'm like, that's so classic.
There's a lot of funny shit in here. Okay. Especially, even when that's not the battle raps, but that's why I think it's a really good movie.
So I recommend from all of us then, surprisingly. Yeah. Even Kevin would like this, but he didn't watch it.
And in our last... Sorry, Kevin, what are you going to say?
Sorry, I didn't see it.
That's okay.
Just apologizing.
No, you're good.
No time for lunch, Dr. Jones.
Our last movie of the episode, well, I'm on the inside, and I've seen this one, but it's one I'd really recommend. It's called Harpoon, starring Monroe Chambers, Christopher Grey, Emma Tyra, and narrated by Brett Gelman. Do you want to start on this one, Simon?
Yeah, I'll start on Harpoon. It looks like a really bad indie when it starts, I have to admit. I'm just like, there's only three real, I think there's only three characters in the whole film.
Yeah, three. The extra characters are the little square, they're little bits of people on a shipwreck. It's like archive footage, basically, that they filmed for it.
Okay, so, and I mean, it starts off kind of weird. They get into a fight, the main characters. He calls them up. What are you doing? I'm coming over. And he goes, you always text me. What's going on? And then I liked how it flashed back that the guy goes nuts all the time. It fully informs you the guy's crazy.
Yeah.
And then they go that. And then they convince him that they were talking, him and his girlfriend were talking about the lead character, I guess. Well, they're all pretty much leads. I don't think there is another lead. All three are leads. And they bought him a harpoon.
So Richard. After
they kicked his ass.
Yeah, Richard kicks his best friend Jonah's ass.
Right, because and they go on a fishing boat.
He's cheating on Sasha.
And then they go on a fishing boat.
Yeah, on his yacht. I forget the name of it, though.
Doug, you have to see this film. I'm going to try not to ruin it for you, because I'm going to recommend it to you right now.
Okay.
What's on the boat is insane. Absolutely awesome. The events on the boat, I love. I love the way they shot it. I like the way... I don't think they did much lighting. It looks like they're outdoors all day. I mean, yeah, I think they probably shot this in 2 weeks.
Yeah, they filmed it in Manitoba.
Really?
Yeah, it's Canadian.
I had no idea. Okay, Doug, you can see a Canadian film. I think it's great. I love the reveal halfway through the film. It works so well. The fish and the blood, a crazy story, is nuts.
Yeah, and the seagull.
And the seagull? What was up with that?
Yeah, I find they handled the seagull like fable better. Like there's the whole seagull thing in the lighthouse, but they handle it really well here too.
Oh, I agree. I quite like that, and I love the very end of this film.
Yeah, I recommended this one because I love this one, and I don't think anyone's really seen it.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, the performances are amazing. Monroe Chambers, I know him from the latest Buzz, but here he is just, he's great. I like Christopher Grey, or I think that's his name, Christopher Grey, a lot too. And the girl is great, but the narration by Brett Gelman is so funny.
This film probably would have made my top 10 list of the year when it came out, if I'd seen it.
Oh, really?
I loved it that much.
Yeah, it's my top 25.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was so impressed by parts of this film. I watch a ton of indie film. It comes off like a really indie film, and it's really well done. I really like Harpoon. It's a short. It's like an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, hour 23.
And they work, and there's no wasted time, which is why I like it. I find a lot of films have lulls and things. Not so much hardly like blockbusters. But indies, this thing flows perfect.
Yeah, it's dark comedy, but it's also, like, the horror comes from the characters. And it's always entertaining because of the character dynamics. Because it's really a love triangle on a yacht, and they have to survive in the middle of the ocean. And that's all I'll spoil about it. It's great. And the ending, I love that. The ending is what makes me love this.
Okay, guys, we got about 4 minutes. Does anybody want any trivia?
Sure.
Go for it.
And all these cards are from the Reel to Reel picture show, which we will have a video up this week, and we'll show you what we picked up. And we're just so everybody knows, we're starting a YouTube channel. Extra Features is the name of the channel. Okay, The Biz, what is an Eddie Award?
An editing award.
That is correct. 1983 Oscars. Who won Best Actress? Jane Alexander, Shirley MacLaine, Meryl Streep, Julie Walters, or Deborah Winger?
Deborah Winger.
Incorrect.
Shirley MacLaine.
Incorrect.
Shirley MacLaine.
Incorrect.
Who's left?
Julie Walters for Educating Rita. 1964 Oscars, who won Best Supporting Actor? John Gielgud, Stanley Holloway, Edmund O'Brien, Lee Tracy, or Peter Ustinov?
Are these for 1963 movies or 1964 movies?
1963 movies, the Oscars would be given out when? 1964.
Well, I'm just verifying.
Peter Ustinov.
That is correct. All right. What patriotic organization did Johnny join in 1957, Johnny's Tremaine? Is anybody
seen this Army? Film?
What movie?
Johnny Tremaine. I've never heard of it. The Sons of Liberty.
Oh. This is a really obscure board game.
I know. I kind of like it. I found it, so it's kind of cool. I'll try to find another one. Hang on. These cards. I'm just trying to find ones that make sense. What were Lawrence Fishburne, Joe Mantegna, and Ben Kingsley doing in 1993?
Sorry, who were the actors again?
Ben Kingsley, Lawrence Fishburne, and Joe Mantegna. Actually, I do know this answer, even though I've never seen the film.
They were in a movie together?
Yes.
Okay.
Was it Apocalypse Now?
No, it was Searching for Bobby Fischer.
Searching for Bobby Fischer?
Yes. So if anybody wants to contact us, what's our email, Dan?
Extra features. I don't know, actually. Extrafeatures@gmail.com?
Oh, my God. Really? Yes. Extrafeatures@gmail.com.
Well, how am I supposed to know? I don't email you.
Doug, where can they find you on the internet?
I could be found on Twitter. I'm at Doug Hainer.
Kevin?
So I am on Twitter as Kev_the_Mev. I'm also on Instagram as KevTheMev.
And Daniel? And
I'm on Twitter at Daniel Prin, and you can find my website at filmcraziest.com.
And if they make it?
We play.
I'll watch two of them.
And we'll answer trivia about it.